Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UTI Asset Management Company Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Imtiazur Rahman, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Chief Financial Officer and Head Corporate Strategy, Mr. Surojit Saha, Group Financial Advisor, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations, Marketing and Corporate Communication. We also have with us our Investor Relations team from Adfactor PR. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risk and uncertainties are on the disclaimer slide of the investor presentation that has been shared earlier. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiazur Rahman for the opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good morning to all of you for joining us today as we review our operational and financial highlights for the half year ended 30th September 2024 as well as quarter ended as on date. We have uploaded our investor presentations on our website as well as on the stock exchange's website. I'm quite confident these informations must have read by all of you. We all are here to clarify any doubts that you may have about our operations. I have with me my distinguished colleagues, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, CFO of the company and Head of Strategy, Mr. Surjit Saha, Group Financial Advisor of the company, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations, Marketing, as well as the Corporate Communications. We will be apprising all of you about the details of the operation of our company. I am pleased to mention that India's economy continues its growth driven by robust domestic demand, rising private capital expenditure and vibrant service activities. Manufacturing sector outperformed in early 2024, aided by lower input costs, with growth stabilizing at 6.7% in quarter two. Though the IMF and World Bank both predicted 7% growth for our economy for the financial year 2025, supported by a rebound in agriculture and a strong private consumption. The Reserve Bank of India maintained 7.2% growth forecast of our economy. We are the fastest growing economy in the world. Let me share with you about the mutual fund industry. Mutual fund industry is an extremely transparent industry and the required information are already available in the mutual fund industry or AMFI website as well as the details which we have provided in our presentation. Let me begin. The Indian mutual fund industry has witnessed remarkable growth in recent times, much of which can be attributed to the retail investors. The aggregate folio count as of September 2024 is 21.05 crore, as against 15.71 crore a year ago, indicating an increase of 34% on year basis. The asset under management of the mutual fund industry saw a significant increase. The average AUM of the industry as on 30th September 2024 was 67.09 crore, a growth of 44% over September 2023, and the figure was 46.58 lakh crore as on September 2023. The increased investment under SIP has helped the industry to grow. The AUM under SIP touched a new milestone of ₹13.82 lakh in September of 2024. The monthly inflows under SIP is seeing a steady rise with 66.39 lakh new SIP accounts were added in September itself. taking the total count of more than 9.87 crore SIP holders, SIP folio holders. The growth can be credited to various factors, including investor confidence, financial literacy initiatives, and enhanced awareness, especially in the city beyond top 30, and a noticeable shift from traditional saving to new investment avenues. It is pertinent here to mention that mutual fund industry is playing a very significant role in India's economic growth. Let me share with you about UTI AMC. Our total asset under management of the group stood at 20.16 lakh crore as of 30th September 2024, compared to 16.89 lakh crore in the same period in the previous year. The UTI Mutual Fund quarterly average AUM accounted for rupees 3.43 lakh crore, reflecting a growth of 28% from rupees 2.67 lakh crore a year ago and rupees 3.11 lakh crore as of 30th September 2024. This significant increase can be largely attributed to our focused go-to-market strategy, which aggressively promoted all categories of funds. Friends, in addition to our strategic focus on product categories, we have expanded our investment research universe, which has been instrumental in consistently improving the performance and competitive ranking of our various schemes. Notably, the fixed income category has witnessed a marked revival in recent months, which has further helped in growth of our AUM. The strategic approach has enabled UTI AMC to sustain its upward trajectory, delivering value to our all stakeholders. Regarding launch of funds, we are also focused on launching new products as needed by our investors. During the quarter, we successfully launched the UTI Nifty 200 Quality 30 Index Fund and the UTI Nifty Private Bank Index Fund, both performing well in their respective categories. The index, respecting index fund categories, we now offer 15 products with closing AUM of 36,505 crore as of September 30, 2024. Geographically, our strong hold is beyond 30 cities, and we are extremely strong there. Our AUM flow is close to 21% monthly average AUM, which is higher than the industry average of 19%. To further capitalize on the emerging opportunities, there has been a lot of focus on expanding and expanding our distribution network. UTI has been constantly planning interventions like dedicated training and workshops to equip them with necessary knowledge and skills to navigate the evolving financial landscape. UTIMC has been at the forefront of investor education drive to create awareness about the mutual fund category with our flagship program, UTI Swatantrata. Between April and September of 2024, the company held 383 investors awareness program, reaching over 31,000 investors. Out of these, 115 sessions were specifically for women investors, engaging more than 5,000 participants. A targeted educational campaign was also conducted for teachers focusing on retirement planning. Regarding digital assets, we are pleased to inform you that we are constantly augmenting our digital assets and processes to provide best-in-class technology with top-notch safety standards across our network. UTI is known for its culture and employees' welfare. Many initiatives and processes have been put in place to create a conducive environment for our team within the company, within the country, and in our overseas offices. Technology upgrades are being implemented to streamline operations, enhance performance monitoring, and improve client servicing. Let me now share with you about our subsidiaries. First of them, UTI International. UTI International has opened a new office in New York. US presents significant opportunities, offering large pool of institutional capital. Our existence in this market provides us a unique opportunity. We have undertaken significant steps for the growth of this business. This has led to higher employees and administrative costs, but these are critical steps for market expansion, operational upgrades, and the product development from a medium to long-term growth perspective. I am confident that our investment would be extremely fruitful in our future growth. A dedicated push for brand building along with the product distribution is planned for long-term sustainability and AUM growth. These relationships will serve as catalysts for potential future inflows as our track record of India-focused investment differentiate us from other global peers. We are actively hiring professionals in key geographies to accelerate business development. The Middle East, driven by sovereign wealth funds and institutional investors seeking global diversification, offers another important growth avenue. And therefore, we are upgrading our regulatory license in DIFC to give us greater flexibility to offer investment advisory services. UTI Pension Funds Limited. UTI Retirement Solutions Limited was renamed as UTI Pension Fund Limited at the beginning of this financial year. After obtaining the POP license from PFRDA and NOC from SEBI, we opened 16 branch offices across Bharat. We are in the process of building a strong sales and distribution team for NPS in order to grow our market share in the private sector. I'm extremely delighted to share that UTI PFL's fund performance during financial 2024 has been commendable. We have been ranked number one for the central government scheme and as well as for the state government scheme. Our other subsidiary, UTI Alternatives, we intend to dive deeper into existing business territories along with expanding into new ones simultaneously. Between financial 2021 and half year ending September 2024, we saw higher employee costs due to the increase in hiring of core business executives. During the same period, management fees income has also increased. Therefore, we can say with all confidence that employee costs have increased commensurately with the growth of the business and it provides a great business opportunity in the future. Sales function in this organization will continue to operate on a lean model and we will be leveraging on our distribution network largely for sales support. We may also explore some tie-ups. A stop one and a stop two expected to be fully closed. Existing funds which are currently in fundraising mode will be achieving their financial close soon. Friends, at a group level, we are delighted to share that our subsidiaries are well capitalized. I would like to highlight that in UTI Group, our focus continues to be on 1. Launching appropriate new products in all business lines. 2. Increasing our geographical expansion. 3. Investing in hiring and upskilling our human capital for the entire group. 4. Investing in digital resources for the entire group. 5. Enhancing the governance practices globally of the gold standard. 6. Having robust recruitment processes globally. Last but not the least, building a strong mechanism for strict compliance and regulation. For further insight into UTI AMC's performance and other operations, update for Q2 and H1 of financial 2025, I now invite Mr. Sandeep Santhi, Head of Investor Relations, Marketing and Corporate Communications, to provide the details of our operations. Over to you, Sandeep, and thank you.
Thank you, sir. I will first take you through UTI AMC's performance during the second quarter and half year ended 30th September 2024. UTI had a market share of 6.2% of the total gross sales of the industry during this quarter and market share of 6.6% of the gross sales for the H1 FY25. Our equity quarterly average AUM for the quarter ended September 24 stood at ₹98,638 crores, rising by approximately 26% as compared to the quarter ended September 23. Quarterly average AUM for index and ETF stood at ₹1,45,135 crores, up by 47% year-on-year in the second quarter. ETFs and index fund net inflows stood at ₹6,022 crores in quarter 2 of FY25. UTI Mutual Fund has added 4,07,000 folios during the quarter, taking up the number of live folios to 1.29 crores as on 30th September 2024. Our SIP AUM witnessed a growth of 50.26% over the corresponding quarter of last year, reaching to ₹39,882 crores as of September 24. The SIP inflows for the second quarter stood at ₹2,058 crores. The SIP gross inflows for UTI Mutual Fund witnessed a year-on-year growth of approximately 25%, with the average SIP ticket size being ₹3,297 for September 24. For the half-year, SIP inflows were ₹3,907 crores, higher by 18.42% as compared to ₹3,300 crores in the H1 of FY24. On UTI financials on consolidated basis, during the second quarter, the company posted a consolidated net profit of ₹239 crores, higher by 31% year-on-year and down by 6% quarter-on-quarter, while the consolidated core revenue from operations stood at ₹373 crores, higher by 28% year-on-year and by 11% quarter-on-quarter. The core profit after tax for the second quarter was ₹132 crores, higher by 50% year-on-year and 14% quarter-on-quarter. For the half-year, the consolidated net profit was ₹493 crores, higher by 18% year-on-year, and consolidated core revenue from operations was ₹710 crores, up by 24% year-on-year. On a standalone basis, PAT of UTI AMC Limited for Q2 of FY25 is ₹201 crores, reflecting a growth of 50% on a year-on-year basis and 8% on quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT for H1 FY25 is ₹387 crores, higher by 29% YOY. The core profit after tax for the second quarter was ₹116 crores, higher by 65% YOY and 17% Q-on-Q. The core profit after tax for H1 FY25 is ₹214 crores, higher by 54% YOY. On HR initiative, as part of its commitment for continuous learning, we successfully rolled out a new learning management system called as UTI Pragati. This platform provides employees at all levels with opportunity for ongoing development and training. On tax-related matters, we would like to highlight an important aspect on the additional deferred tax liability created in Q2 of FY25 for ₹12.10 crores. As per the Indian accounting standards, we mark to market our treasury investment every quarter and create deferred tax liability on the notional gain. Till June 24, we had created deferred tax liability at a prevailing tax rate then, including indexation benefits. However, the capital gains tax rate has been changed in the Union Budget of 24, including the change of tax rate for equity-oriented mutual fund to 12.5%, and the indexation benefits have also been removed. Accordingly, we have recomputed the deferred tax liability on all the past M2M gains at the new rate. As a result, the deferred tax liability recorded on fair value gains on the investment as of June 24 has increased by ₹12.10 crores, thereby resulting in an additional one-time charge in the net profit of the company as on September 30, 2024. Coming to the group company on UTI Pension Fund Limited, our 100% subsidiary UTI Pension Fund Limited has recorded a growth of 24.64% year-on-year in its AUM, reaching approximately ₹3.36 lakh crores as on 30th September 24, and currently it manages 25.12% of the NPS industry's AUM. The PAT of UTI Pension Fund Limited for the first half of the year is at ₹29 crores, an increase of 16% year-on-year. On UTI International, UTI International represents our international business interest and has an AUM of ₹29,814 crores as on 30th September 24, up by 23.16% year-on-year. Our international clients are across more than 40 countries. These are primarily institutions, pensions, insurances, banks, and asset managers. One of our flagship funds, the India Dynamic Equity Fund domiciled in Ireland, has an AUM of ₹1,136 million. UTI International J. Saprasarasin Responsible India Fund, an ESG compliant India fund, has an AUM of ₹76 million. UTI Innovation Fund launched last year has an AUM of $56 million. UTI Alternatives Private Limited. UTI Alternatives Private Limited has an AUM of 2,856 crore. It has a well-defined ESG policy and strategy. It is committed to responsible investing. UTI SDOF 2 and 3 have a well-defined ESG policy and strategy. It currently manages the following active debt fund. UTI SDOF 1, which has received SEBI approval in August 2017 and has final close in May 2019. It has a net commitment of 71 crore and is in the exit stage. UTF HDOC 2 received SEBI approval in February 21 and has the final close in May 22. It had net commitments of ₹467 crore and is currently in existing mode. UTI HDOC 3 has received SEBI approval in April 22 and has a net commitment of ₹540 crore. It is currently in fundraising and investing stage. UTI Multi Opportunity Fund 1, which had SEBI approval in February of 22, has net commitments of ₹1,598 crore. It is currently in investing stage. UTI Real Estate Opportunity 1 is currently fundraising and investing with commitment of ₹130 crore. UTI Alternatives got co-investment portfolio manager CPM license in August 22. We have launched two more funds in Credit Opportunity Fund 1 and UTI Asset Reconstruction Opportunity Fund. We have three more funds registered in GIFT City, which will be launched soon. Just an update, UTI Venture Fund has been renamed as UTI Heart Financial and Investment Services Limited. I would now request the Managing Director and CEO for his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Sandeep, for sharing operational and financial updates of the company for second quarter and the first half of financial 2024-25. With this, we would like to open the forum for question and answer session. On behalf of UTI AMC, we wish you, your family, a very happy Diwali and prosperous New Year. We would also like to wish our partners, investors, and other stakeholders, and to all Indians, wherever they reside, a happy Diwali. Thank you very much for joining this call. Over to you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Good morning, everyone. So just two, three questions from my side. First, a data-keeping question. If you can quantify the ESOP expense for the first half for the standalone and consolidated business. Second, we have heard in the conference call of some of your peers that they have either tweaked the renewal payout structures on the back book in some schemes or incremental flows that come in, they are going for a differentiated renewal payout structure for the flows that incrementally are coming in. So just wanted to check, have you undertaken any such change either on the back book or on fresh flows? And also, as a philosophy, do you kind of concur with this view? And my third question is more from the perspective of UTI Pension. So just wanted to understand how the yield trajectory or the realizations in this segment are really structured, and how do you foresee it going ahead?
So, Dipanjan, on the ESOP expenses, we have expenses close to around 3.5 crore for half year, and for the whole of the financial year, the number should be in the range of around 5 crore only. On the second question,
just want to say, this on standalone or consolidated basis?
Yes. Yeah, it's same only. On the top AUM, as far as the commission is concerned, no, we haven't carried out any rationalization of commission expenses on the stock AUM.
On the fresh inflows, anyway, we are following marginal expense ratios of policy, where only on the sharing ratios on the incremental inflows is shared between us and the AMC. So on an incremental info, that has been our policy over the last 4 to 5 years. But on the soft AUM, no rationalization has taken place. And the third question with respect to pension fund, the gross fees is close to around 3 basis points. And as you are aware, 50% of the fees is being is required to be paid back to PFRDA for development of pension fund. So on a net basis, the incremental fees on a net basis is close to around 1.5 basis point.
So just wanted to follow up on the second question on the marginal sharing fund. So let's say, you know, let's say a distributor sells a large cap fund or some other fund of yours, or let's say the gross expense ratio on the fresh inflow for the year is, whatever, let's say around 1.75%. And on that, on the first year, you will have a certain payout, and then you will have a certain distributor renewal payout also. But as the AUM goes, obviously your gross expense ratio keeps coming off. So what I understand you're trying to say is that it's like a proportion of sharing. So if the gross expense ratio comes down, then on the year 2, year 3, year 4 onwards, also the percentage sharing between you and the distributor remains same, and the sliding structure is followed. Is that a correct understanding on the fresh flow?
Yeah, so yeah, that's correct. And normally it happens that the second and the third year commission in many of the cases are on a lower side as compared to the first year commission. So even those arrangements are also there. But as of now, we haven't reduced the AUM on the commission on the stock AUM. That exercise we have not done.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Lalit Deo from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just first question, a data building question, sir. Could you give us your segment-wise yields as well as, and also you could give that yield for us quarter-on-quarter basis, like with respect to YOP. My second question is, sir, could you also give us some color on the...
Lalit, your voice is not clear. Could you repeat your question? Segment-wise?
Yeah, segment-wise yields, revenue yields across equity, debt, liquid.
Okay.
Yeah.
And second question?
So second question was more on from the flow perspective. So again, in this quarter, we have seen some outflows in our core equity scheme. So if you could give us some color on your gross flows as well as some color on the outflow redemption side also. And the third question was on the expenses side. So how should we see the employee expenses for this year as well as the next year?
Okay. So on the yield part, I can say for equity and hybrid fund, it's close to around 75 basis points. ETF and index fund is roughly around 6 to 7 basis points. Cash and arbitrage is around 10 basis points. And income fund at around 20 to 21 basis points. With respect to your, I think, second question, Sandeep will reply. And the third question was with respect to the cost part. So the employee cost, I think what we indicated in our earlier call also, employee costs for a standalone, you can see a rise of just around 2 to 3% on the FY24 number. And on the other admin expenses, the range, the increase could be around 8 to 10%.
Equity funds have shown steady improvement in the performance and peer ranking over the last 6 months. And if you look at our performance on a 1 year basis, 11 out of our 18 equity funds are now in the quartile 1 and 2. And if you look at my March numbers, there were about 6. So from 6, we have moved up to 11. As mentioned earlier, many of our equity funds had a focus on quality style of investing for the portfolios, whereas the value style was receding over quality in the last 3 to 4 years, which, somehow impacted our performance. The turnaround of our fund performance should help us to build the momentum for a sustainable growth, both in terms of assets and market share. Given the current market condition and volatility, we have been following our hybrid funds as the go-to-market strategy with a lot of trust via sales campaigns. This has led to some impetus to the performance. And if you look at our SIP AUM, that has grown by more than 50% to 39,882 crore as a on a YOY basis. And our gross sales of the market share was 6.2% for the quarter two and 6.6% for the half year.
So, and just to add, Lalit, I think we are doing fairly well as far as the hybrid category is concerned. In fact, for the half of the financial year, we are mobilizing excess of close to around 2,500 crore on the hybrid category. So this is one category we are actually focusing on and receiving a good amount of inflows. And as Sandeep rightly pointed out, I think for the next two quarters, we should see some traction as far as the equity inflows are concerned. Lalit?
Yes, sir, he's on the line.
Go to the next question.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, thanks, sir. I'll rejoin in the field.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit from Centrum India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Mohit.
Yeah. Also, for my first question is, if I look at the last 3 to 4 quarters, the number of branches and employees have reduced. You know, what could be the reason for this?
No, the number of branches, in fact, has increased by close to around 24 branches because last year we opened 29 branches. However, there have been some rationalizations of branches where the AUM doesn't justify the branches. So we have closed 5 branches, but net addition as compared to last year has been 24. We have opened new branches.
Right. I agree on the
natural retirement that is happening. So because of that, the headcount of employees has actually come down.
Okay, but so are we going to fill this and will this have an impact on the employee expense, the number of employees?
So already for the retirement, we have already explained earlier that we have recruited the management trainee over the last 2 to 3 years, and they are being groomed to take some of these leadership positions. So no new additions or to the employees per se now.
All right. Okay. As in terms of the market share, I think again we saw a minor decline, you know, this quarter as well. So are there any immediate steps that you're taking in terms of, you know, changing in responsibility of any fund managers or something to gain more market share, especially on the equity side?
No, this is we are collectively working to increase our market share. So fund performance is on right side in right direction. We as a team, the investment CEO office, as well as the distribution, we are working with our stakeholders to take our equity schemes to the market. And we are rightly placed to go to the market so far equity schemes are concerned. And that will help us to basically containing our decline in the market share and increase in market share. You have seen the other segment, we have increased our market share, and I'm quite confident that with the on the backdrop of a great, better in, performance and the right product positioning, and with the go-to-the-market strategy, we will be in a position to gain our market share.
Right, right, sir, right. So this is helpful. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sakhare from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Sir, I have 3 questions. First one is on the yield. Just wanted to clarify, you mentioned 75 basis points on the active equity funds, including hybrid. Just wanted to know what would this number be in the first quarter and last year full year, please.
It's a very similar number. Last quarter also, it was close to around 76 basis points, and similar quarter was around 75. So we have been able to maintain the yield number.
Understood. And secondly, on the cost front, sir, again, just clarifying, you mentioned 2-3% for employees and rest of it at 8-10%. But this is at the company level, right? Because I thought you mentioned for the standalone business. So just wanted to clarify that.
Let me clarify. 2-3% at a standalone level. At a consolidated level, since you are building our business base in all the three subsidiaries, employee costs at a consolidated level could be in the range of around 4%.
So, Abhijit, there are two costs. One is the cost to run the operations. Another is investment in future. So we are hiring, as I mentioned in my opening remark, that we are hiring in all geographies. We have hired now two people in USA. We have started our office in USA. We have hired more people in France. We are in the process of hiring some more people in Singapore. We have already hired one person in Dubai, and in the process of hiring more people in Dubai. And we are also relocating our CEO from the group CEO of UTI International from Singapore to Dubai. These are our investments in future, and therefore we need to be careful. And I don't want to quantify them as expenses. In accounting term, it's expenses, but in business term, these are the investments in future. So far, standalone is concerned, and I think whatever we have promised 4 or 5 years back to the market, we are able to keep our commitment up. As against the 7 or 8%, 11% generally has been increased in the employee cost and in the asset management space overall. The increase is only 2-3%, and it will be further reduced in the next few quarters. So far as standalone is concerned, be a bit careful to distinguish between investment in business and the cost to run an operation. Thank you, Abhijit.
That's thanks for clarifying. And again, so last bit on the expense front, for non-employee cost, you mentioned 8-10%, right? That's the number to consider.
Yeah.
And they are also just be careful about, we are investing in our digital strategies that goes directly to the P&L. We have tied up with the Salesforce. We are revisiting our digital assets, and we are also hiring in the digital space of our employees are concerned. And this is globally applicable. We already put in place a very strong risk management processes, and therefore we have had the services of the various consultants across the globe to put in place the right business processes in place. But if you see line item wise, the expenses will be in the range of 5-6%. But there are extraordinary expenses which we are not in a position to tell the market these are the extraordinary expenses. But I mentioned to you the extraordinary expenses which we are incurring, and these are the one-time expenses. For example, we hired the services year and a half back of Alvarez & Marshall to look into our investment processes. There's a cost to this one. And also, we have the Bloomberg in place. The Bloomberg is in dollar. So any change in the exchange rate also increase our cost. So far, the cost has not increased, not so much, because currency was a bit stable. Abhijit.
Thank you so much, sir. The last one is on flows. I think this quarter we've done better compared to trends in the past. So, going forward into next 12 months, do you really foresee, you know, overall net inflows into active equity funds to be in a positive zone, and possibly a substantial jump over the past run rate?
So that is the whole idea, Abhijit. That's the thought process. Since Sandeep rightly pointed out, the uptick in performance is there at least on the 6 month and now closer to 1 year. So we are actively pushing our equity fund, hybrid fund, as I explained earlier. We have been doing in this well in this particular segment, especially with the repositioning of our multi-asset fund, and this is the one fund where we are mobilizing a good amount of inflows. So on the equity and well as the hybrid side, yes, the management focus is there, and we should expect a good inflows in the next 2 quarters.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Lada from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning everyone. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just, you know, most of my questions have been answered, but just on the employee expenses. So, you know, finally we are seeing that expense line getting contained. And I wanted to know, are you completely done with all the hiring for the year, and this current expense of about 115 crores, can we take that to be your sort of normalized run rate? And then post that in 26-27, what sort of hikes should we build in? Or how many more you know, employees will retire over 26-27? So what sort of cost benefit can come through from there? So that will be helpful to know. And then, you know, on a consolidated basis, what would that mean? Second, you know, I think earlier in this year in 2Q, your direct TERs across most equity schemes went up. And that would have meant about a 5 basis points incremental yield. So why has that not played out? Because you're saying quarter over quarter your equity yields have remained stable. So is there some expense which has gone below, gone up below the direct TER level? That, is that why this has not happened, or what could be the reason for that? Those would be my two questions. Thanks.
Madhukar, I think we will stick to our guidance number as far as this particular financial year is concerned. At least 2-3% increase on the employee cost on a standalone basis, and close to around 4.5% on the consolidated level. And the overall guidance that we have been given, that 2028-29, the employee cost should be on a declining trajectory. As and when we progress to the next financial year, we will provide an overall guidance. Don't want to comment on the individual number of employees, but at the beginning of the next financial year, we will provide a guidance for the full year. But as we have stated earlier, that the employee cost will be on a declining trajectory even after factoring the inflation number. Secondly, on the yield part, yes, the direct plan yield has gone up by around 3-4 basis points, but obviously we have got a fresh inflows also. So in equity and hybrid fund, there have been a fresh inflows of almost around 6,000-7,000 crore during this half year. So as you are aware, since the yields are lower on the fresh inflows and the higher yield on the debt, we have been able to ensure that the overall yield at the stock level remains the same at around 75 basis points.
Madhukar. Got it. Okay, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paresh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. Just a few questions. Firstly, on the rationalization of commissions, the industry, in a couple of calls that have happened of your counterparts, have kind of mentioned about, rationalization of commission structures, linking them to the TERs, industry kind of moving towards that. So do you think that, even UTI would follow suit going ahead? That would be my first question. Just one second. Yeah, sorry. The second one being, in terms of debt, how do you see the kind of flows coming into the longer duration funds going ahead with the interest cuts likely to come through probably towards the end of the quarter or end of the fiscal? And lastly, how do you see the mix between mutual funds and other businesses, say, from a 2-3 year standpoint in terms of your revenue and profitability mix? Those would be my questions. Thanks.
So on the first fund, as far as the rationalization of commission is concerned, yes, we are exploring that option, definitely not in this particular quarter, but maybe quarter four or beginning of the next financial year, we will take a call on that. as far as debt inflows in concern, over the last two quarters, we have seen a significant amount of inflows. Inflows are coming only in short duration product. But if the interest rate cut cycle plays out, then definitely a longer duration product will be the flavor of the season. And not only UTI Mutual Fund, but the entire industry can witness a good amount of inflows as far as the long duration product is concerned. But as of now, for the last two quarters, the inflows are more into a shorter duration and a money market kind of a product.
Mix.
On the mix side, yes, we, as Mr. Raman and Sandeep already pointed out, we are building our base as in all the three subsidiaries. Alternative, the yields are quite good, and we are building our team and extending our capabilities, and in the process of launching 3 to 4 funds. So definitely the business volume and the yield from that particular business segment should improve. On the international, depend on the inflows is coming into which category. If it is coming under the equity categories, and if the Indian market continues to attract and arise in the foreign investor, we should see some yield improving on the international business as well.
So far as pension fund is concerned, as you know, the government of India has already announced that unified pension schemes and 10% more will be their location. For the central government and as well as the state government employees, that will help us tremendously in increasing our AUM and the profitability so far as pension fund is concerned.
Paresh?
Yeah. Thanks for that. Just on this, so in terms of scales in scale in alternate business, and do you think that, you are at that level where incremental flows or incremental revenues will kind of flow down to bottom line and resultantly the profitability of the entire company, the core profitability, can actually see a significant boost up from something like an alternate assets?
So from the alternate, we are quite hopeful that at least from the beginning of the next financial year, this company will turn into core PAT positive. So definitely from in next financial year, this company is going to add to the core PAT number of UTI AMC on a standalone basis.
This company, UTI Tanish Alternative, has built a very strong track record in mobilizing the money and paying back to the investors. We have not seen any defaults so far, and we have given extraordinary return. So this company has become the role model so far as credit funds are concerned in our country. And we are expecting a good traction in all subsidiaries of us.
Great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Shial from Vingret Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. First of all, sorry if I missed out. Your other expenses had some 19% kind of, I'm saying on console basis, 19% kind of a YOY and 16% kind of a sequential growth. Anything specific to read into or any one-offs in that?
Not sure which numbers are you looking at.
74 crores, which I'm seeing it, other expenses.
Okay, on a consolidated level, you are saying?
Yeah, on consolidated.
Yeah, so the consolidated level, as we pointed out, since we are expanding our reach as far as the international business are concerned, so we are building our team, and Mr. Raman Reddy pointed out, we have opened an office in Paris as well as in the United States. So initial establishment costs as well as these rental costs of these two offices have come into. So on a consolidated level, these expenses have gone up. And also we have opened 15 points of presence offices for our pension fund company. So because of that, the expenses at a consolidated level has gone up.
Understood. So on a YOY basis, what, so as you're pointing out that on
10%, yeah.
10 to 12%, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Secondly, what I'm seeing it up on your SIP flow has seen a significant improvement. But specifically, if I see your monthly gross SIP numbers, inflows, there has seen a massive improvement in July, August, and September this year. So anything specific that you want to highlight, that the steps that you've taken, or what is the resultant I mean, what are the reasons for such a significant improvement, and how we are seeing it up SIP flow specifically in the coming months? Anything specific that you want to highlight from here?
Yeah, so Jignesh, as we pointed out earlier also, that we have been taking efforts to improve our market share with the fintech partners as well as with all the distributors who are there with us. So banks, national distributors, fintechs are important partners who help us in our SIP count. So with the fund performance being there, improvement in the equity fund performance as well as the fixed income and the hybrid fund, we are seeing significant inflows coming in the SIP format. And as you know, that SIP has now become a popular trend in the country, where people, young people who are coming into the industry, are also looking at SIP as the first way of investing into mutual funds. So that's the reason UTI has also benefited from the SIP flows.
But we have a very clear plan, and we are executing it well. Each and every sales team has got a target for our SIP. And that is working well for us. The investment team and the distribution team are working cohesively, and they are going to the market together. So we are in a position to give a lot of confidence to the market, and I'm quite confident that going forward, this number will have further improvement.
Understood, sir. No, why I was asking you, because, you know, obviously the trend had been improving over the last couple of months in itself. But last 3 months, I've seen a significant improvement. So I was wondering is it coming up from hybrid, because where your market share has gained, and that is the reason why there is a significant improvement on month-on-month basis, or something else to read into. But that's okay.
You're right. Hybrid is one category that we are focusing on. So yeah. Major part of that incremental inflow is coming into hybrid.
Understood.
Our focus in all products.
Okay.
Either focus on products, for example, equity. We have some of the very, very good performing schemes. We have repositioned the market. We are having very focused way of selling them. We are waiting to turn around the flagship fund. And we're extremely thankful to our fund management team and as well as to God that is seeing the turnaround. And these all will help us in going forward.
That's quite
a good. Our board is extremely particular. They review our performance and they advise us, they counsel us appropriately. So it's an entire teamwork which is helping us to grow our presence in all fields.
Understood. Thank you. And lastly, just one more thing is that our index and ETFs have seen a massive improvement on the market share segment side and all. But typically, what my understanding is that, you know, these are low yield funds overall. But obviously, our growth seems to be doing pretty, I mean, relatively, it looks to be far higher. So will that have any impact? Because obviously, ETFs are anyhow getting very popular across the industry also. So will that have any impact on our revenue yields, or you don't see that happening much on because of this, no much impact and all? Any comments on revenue yields? Because your share and your market share and the growth in index and ETFs are far higher. That's it from my side.
Yield is a very, very difficult indicator. So overall, yield will be different. But I strongly believe in the absolute profit, not the yield. And this is a volume business. The passive is a volume business. So if your yield may be the same, and overall yield may come down if you put a per unit basis, but the overall profit will go up. So I am considering as the overall profit. My profit number should go up and up and up. That is the focus.
I think, Jignesh, as earlier highlighted also in the call, I think PAT margin number is one parameter. I think most of you guys should look into it because the kind of industry we are in, yield margin numbers are bound to come down because of asset mix, and that the present day is the difference between the yield on the stock AUM and the fresh inflows. So yield margins will be on a declining trajectory, but a PAT margin number is one where, due to operating leverage and because of volume growth, that number should keep on improving.
Perfect. That's really helpful, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will be our last question for today's conference call. It is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congrats on a good quarter. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question, pertaining to the net flows, right? So I understand, or could you just clarify that the equity and hybrid net flows includes the arbitrage number, right?
No, it doesn't include arbitrage. Arbitrage we are including in cash and liquid.
Okay, understood. Okay, perfect. That was it.
Thank you. That was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much once again. And again, I would like to wish all of you and your family a very, very happy Diwali. And thank you for joining this call. May God bless all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the call. In case of any queries, feel free to connect with AdFactor Investor Relations team. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.